Amen. I want to start over here in John chapter 15 and share a little bit about what God's been dealing with me on. And, you know, be honest with you, you know, the way I live, I kind of live from my heart. And so I make decisions out of my heart and do things out of my heart. And I always love it when down the road God shows me something that proves to me that it's part of Scripture. You know, oh, okay, that's good. You know, I knew I was right. Need to go back and tell all those other people, see? But the way I make decisions and take direction, the way I feel about ministry, the way, you know, most ministry, let me just tell you, I'm trying not to bark too much tonight. I'm trying to be a good teacher. I have on my, written here, my Bible says slow and sweet. Right there. So tonight I'll be slow and sweet. But you know, most of the church today, for the last generation or generations, has been operating as an Old Testament style church. In the way we look to God, the way we look to miracles, the way we look for God to show up. It's an Old Testament style. And we've also come through a generation of self-exaltation, where either men have ruled over men with authority in the church, or men have tried to position, or women have tried to position themselves as a voice in your life that you haven't asked to be a voice in your life. And you know, and there's a constant struggle of submitting and submission, and many things that I love about this place here at the Prayer Center. I didn't quite understand it when I got here. I didn't really see it, haven't seen it taught. Why? Some of it, if not a lot of it, is contrary to what I was trained when I was being trained to be a super church pastor. They trained you how to run a ministry. I find it a lot of things here, the way the leadership, Pastor Tim and Gary and Pastor Dave, navigate through things. And I'm discovering in myself, there's a pathway that Jesus birthed for us as a church, as individuals. Because sometimes we look at the church, we think as a church, as a building, that God wants to bless the church. But you know, you can't bless the church if he's not blessing you. And when we focus too much on what the church is supposed to do, we can neglect the importance of our families, the importance of our personal life, the importance of our personal walk. You know, in a goal to win the world, we can neglect our own self. You know, one of the old-time miracle workers, I forget his name right off the top of my head, he died at 36 years old, a big man. Cole. I met his son. He come preach for us, Jack Cole. And Kenneth Hagin says that he went up to him soon before he died and said, Jack, if you don't work on your health, you're going to die young. Kenneth Hagin told all the miracle workers of the time, he said, I want to outlive all you boys. Because you're building your ministry on the gifts, and I'm building mine on the Word. How many people do I know and how many services have I been in? More than I like to share. But I watched this Old Testament style of ministry of operating under the gifts, of having the church come to me to receive something from God rather than helping them to learn and to walk in a relationship with God of their own. See? Now, it's okay in the season to receive. Every one of us needs help. I can tell you that just a few years ago, if you came up and gave me a word that just patted me on the back and said, "You're going to make it." I would have kissed you right there. Hallelujah. That's a word from God. Thank you, Jesus. I needed that. Thank you. I remember my first service here, Pastor Dave said, "Now, if you want prayer just for strength to overcome." Because my first service here, it's hard to interpret the flow of the prayer center. You know, I'd be sitting there listening to the service and 50 people would run up to the prayer line. And I'd say, "Christy, did they have a prayer line? Did he call for a prayer line? I didn't know he called for it." But there's like a language here I didn't get for a little bit. And so I got up in this one prayer line thinking, okay, you know, I was coming up for God to bless me and help me to navigate this next season. And I didn't realize I came up for repentance of something, you know. Pastor Dave stood in front of me and said, "Okay." So as we're walking, we need each other. We need that. We need help. We need, you know, if you're sick, you don't care how you get it. I don't care if it's a preacher or a priest or a doctor or whatever. If I can get healed, that's all I care about. See? So along the way, we need help from each other. But there's a walk of maturity that he's after from each of us. See? Where we have a relationship with him. And he meets our needs. Now, much of the prayer in the past has been, not here, but that I've heard was, "God, please send revival. Let your glory fall." And see, there is a generations of teaching that has God up in heaven and we're trying to get him to come here. That the blessings of God, the power of God, the glory of God, the anointing of God comes from outside of the building into the building. See? The worship has been based a lot on that. The service has been based a lot on that. The prayer has been based a lot on that. That we have God who we're trying to get to come. And much of it is based on Old Testament style mentality of who God is. Let's start in John chapter 15. Verse 1. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Talking to the disciples, he's telling them that you're going to have to get born again. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Look at verse 4. "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit," say fruit, "of itself." That was pretty sad. Try that again. Say fruit. There you go. "Of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in me. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Say nothing. Now when Pastor Dave taught this a few years ago, it really broke so much in me. I had been trained to believe that if I didn't perform appropriately or accurately or enough, that I might be cast out and burned. You know. And Pastor Dave broke this and said, really, he's talking to the disciples about being born again. That right now the Jews and the Gentiles and you disciples are not born again because I haven't died and been resurrected yet. But when that moment comes, you're going to have to abide in me, or else you will not be saved. You can't bear fruit unless you abide in the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. Unless you get born again, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. He's talking about the change of the rules. That up till Jesus being resurrected, the way to salvation was one way. But after Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, the way to salvation was only through him. And he's making it clear to even his disciples that even you, even though you're clean because of the word I spoke to you, you're not abiding in the vine. And that will happen when I'm born again, or when I'm resurrected. And that moment you are to get hooked into the vine, because that is where the fruit, say fruit, is going to come from. And without me, you could do nothing. Let me be a little bit more descriptive here. Without me, you could do nothing. Without Jesus, there's no hope for you and I. There's no hope for the human race. The human race was on a train where the railroad tracks ended in hell. And there was no hope for the human race. There was no hope for Alan Taylor. Alan Taylor was born to live his 104 years and die and go to hell. That was it. There was no hope for me. I could beg God, worship God, pray to God, give him all my money, feed the poor. It was impossible to rescue Alan Taylor. So what God had to do was to reach into Alan Taylor and find the heart, the life source of me. And through Jesus Christ, he took that out and gave me a new nature and gave me a new life. I was born a new creature. And that moment, Alan Taylor died. Alan Taylor, the human race, will never see heaven, because it was impossible to rescue the human race. He had to rescue us out of the human race. See? So I owe everything to God, to Jesus. Every good thing in my life, every good thing that I do. Can you imagine how silly it is for self-exaltation? Look how God's using me. I prayed for that person. They got healed. Well, that's good. Well, you prayed for them. They didn't get healed, but I did, and they did get healed. Well, that's good. I've been praying extra hours, you know. Well, good. But what gave you the ability to pray those extra hours to get there anyway? Everything. Even the grace to do it comes because of the connection you gave when you were born again to the vine. Old Testament is different. Old Testament church is different. Man ruling over man, both in authority and position and in spiritual things. We have whole denominations of prophets, whole denominations of glory seekers waiting for an open heaven, for God to fall down through a portal in heaven. And from that portal comes angels and gold dust and gems. And, you know, and see, that language is all, it's all romantic. But God is no longer in heaven trying to bring heaven to earth. He's in you. So every bit of fruit, the fruit he's talking about here, of course, is you, your life, your heart, being brought out of the old human race and brought into this new race of children of God. You're the fruit that he's after. And then anything else that comes from that, comes from that connection to the vine. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You are the fruit. Your salvation is the fruit. And everything that comes out of that salvation, that new nature, everything. See, out of the fruit of your spirit comes love and joy and peace. That's fruit. And see, it wasn't just not too long ago I was coming back. I was on a plane trip to fly somewhere to preach. And I was sitting in first class. Thank you very much. I don't ever get to fly first class, but I had a few upgrades and I thought, what are these for? And I asked the lady, she said, oh, you can use these to get bumped up. And so I asked, can I use these? And they said, yeah. So I'm sitting in the first class. And I'm sitting up there feeling like I'm robbing the place, you know. Like. And it's like on the plane right there, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, now see where you are. He said, it wasn't 2 years ago you were fear of starving. You had fear of starving to death. And look where you are. He said, you didn't have the power to do this. You didn't buy your first class ticket. You just bought a regular ticket, but you had what you needed to get to first class. And that's when he began to, little layer upon layer, begin to prove me things. And then on the way home from Brazil, not too long ago, I saw an image of a tree inside of me. And the Lord spoke to me in my heart and said, you used to be a farmer. That's how you used to live, like an Old Testament farmer. If you needed something, you'd have to plow the ground. Every season, you'd have to plow it all over and weed it out and fertilize it and then plant your seeds carefully. And you have to wait for the season to come. And then harvest time, you'd have to work and toil and slave to get your harvest of finances, your harvest of ministry, your harvest of family, your harvest of answered prayer, your harvest of salvation for your family, your harvest of glory, your harvest of grace. You'd have to do the harvest. And then the next season, you have to do it all over again. Year after year, you've been planting and harvesting and toiling and and then I saw this one single tree inside of me. And I saw the roots go down. And I saw the limbs. And what he showed me was, you just picked a piece of fruit off. A fruit of blessing. That tree produced fruit. Now for many years, that tree didn't produce any fruit. That's when we murmur and complain. This ain't working. Look at that group across the way. I'm driving my beat up old car. The engine light's on. Remember, that means it works. Say, all right, the engine light's on, it's working. Brakes are working good. All the lights are on, so tell me it's all good. They're driving by you, wondering why you're not blessed. Do you know as a church, there's two sources of blessing? There's one way by the old covenant, and there's one way by the new covenant. The old covenant, you're a farmer. The new covenant, you take care of one tree. And out of that tree will come the fruit for everything you need in your life. Now when fruit comes, if you have a tree, I remember someone was handing out lemons last year. Was it lemons or pears? Pears last year. He was like Santa Claus. He's running around buckets. Every Sunday he'd have buckets of pears. And he was acting like he was being nice to everybody. I got you some pears. But I tell you the truth, he had a pear tree that was dropping pears like crazy. And he just couldn't see them rot, so he was trying to get rid of them is what he was doing. He was acting nice, but he was just, you were doing him a favor. Please take my pears. Because once a tree starts to produce fruit, every year it keeps coming. And it comes and it comes. Now, here's what I want us to see. Let's go over to Matthew. Chapter 7. We'll start in verse 13 here. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. But there are few who find it. The whole entire old world was coming down a road that was narrowing. And they were coming to a place of making a choice with the cross standing there at the crossroads. And one was the gate that was the road that was wide, and one that was a road that was narrow, that until that moment there was no narrow road. There was only a wide road leading to destruction. The entire human race was on this road of destruction. But at the cross there was a narrow road that was going to lead them to salvation. See, he wasn't talking to you and me, he's talking to them. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do man gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from the thistles? See, there's a time coming where God's going to harvest the earth. And he's going to harvest the Gentiles and the Jews. He wants to grab the grapes or the Gentiles, and he wants to grab the figs or the Jews and harvest them. But he can't get those out of thorn bushes, and he can't get those from bad trees, from thistles. There's only one way to get fruit. That was to plant trees that would produce good fruit. So every good tree, verse 17, bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. He's talking here about salvation. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So Jesus is telling them the pathway to salvation for the Gentiles and for the Jews. That your new nature is like a tree. Your new nature is a tree. Well, let me phrase it this way. Your nature is like a tree that's planted. And if your nature is not born again, it's a bad nature. And the only thing you're going to get out of that nature is bad fruit. And it's impossible for God or for you to see good fruit come out of a bad tree. He's not going to get grapes out of thorn bushes. He's not going to harvest any Gentiles out of thorn bushes, because you cannot get grapes from thorn bushes. And he's not going to get any figs, any Jews saved out of the law, out of the word of the covenant they had. The thistles don't produce figs. Bad fruit only comes from bad trees. When I'm saying fruit here, it means everything that's encompassed with the new nature or with the old nature. See, when we say your nature was dead before you were born again, it wasn't really dead. That's a positional term. It was moving and instructing, and it was dark is a better term we can use. But the nature of an unsaved human is dark. The nature of a born again Christian is light. See, the nature of a born again Christian produces life, and the nature of a human unsaved produces death. But its nature is not dead. It produces bad fruit. Now, let me go a little further. you're watching a love story, you go to the movie with your, drag your husband to the girly, the girl flick. You're sitting there, yes dear, I'll go. He lies to her in the movie and she lies to him, and then they fight and they break up, and then right at the end they get back together, and the violin's going and the music's going, and they're running down the beach and they embrace and then kiss, and your wife's crying and you're hiding your tear. No, you're all that written by some guy who probably doesn't even like girls, who's wrote it on a piece of paper. Two people never existed or on the screen, pretending to be two people, who acted by two people who aren't really them. And he, the guy kissing the girl, may not like girls either. You never know. And here you are crying. Listen, even the best emotion of love that the world can display, the Bible only calls it lust. Bad fruit. The biggest courage that the world can display, the Bible calls it fear. The world, no matter how much the emotions and the display wants to mimic the real true emotions that your spirit can produce, it's a cheap copy. It's shallow. And it's bad fruit. That's why I laugh when people ask me, you know, how much dying do I have to do? I've been praying and fasting, and when can I start living? Why do I have to die all the time? Die to this, die to that. I say, well, the Bible does say die daily, take up your cross daily. But see, they think they're dying to something important, something valuable. But really what they're doing is killing off the old man's fake, shallow, emotional, tingly-feely stuff. And underneath that is a treasure of real joy and real peace and real power and real courage. See? But you'll never open up that treasure unless you unearth it and remove the flesh off of it. Most ministries live above the treasure. And they live above that in the dirt. And they talk to your flesh. They tickle your flesh. They minister to your flesh. Now, that flesh is your emotions. It tickles your selfishness. It tickles your, it makes you feel good. It does all those things. But it, I love a ministry that talks you into unearthing that junk, and helping you to discover that inside of you is everything you need. That was good preaching right there. The old cartoon I saw years ago, this pastor had this beautiful building made out of stone. And on it, it said, the church of such and such, and services Sunday, these times. And then he was chiseling in his name, Pastor. And he was chiseling his name in it, and underneath the caption said, job security. He's chiseling his name into the building. They're going to fire him. They have to build a new building. Listen, most of our generation of ministries have to do with self-preservation. You needing me. What a family we can be when we can walk side by side. Knowing that I'm no more important than you are, and you're no more important than I am. That my calling and my job in the body is not more important than you. I just have a place in it. Just like you do. We both have to rise up. We both have to hear God. We both have to start walking into it. My favorite thing to do when I was running the Bible college, the two best things we did, number one was we didn't let people minister for the first year they came to Bible school. You strip away their ministry and they felt naked. Your ministry, what you do is your job. It's not who you are. If you get that mixed up that my ministry is who I am, then you're going to get confused in life. You're going to feel more important than you are. You're going to feel you'll be dysfunctional. Your family will struggle. Your finances will struggle. Ministry isn't who you are. It's what you do. See? So the best thing we did was say, you can't minister while you're in the first year of Bible college. Made them face themselves. Get comfortable with themselves in the room. You know. The second thing we did was, if you mentioned it, you did it. Pastor Allen, yeah. You know, it'd be really good if you... Hold on. Go ahead. Tell me. It'd be really good if you had this done in kids' church. All right, thank you. There you go. Go take care of it. Oh, some of you don't like that. Let me try that again. It'd be really good if we did, or you did. See, when you're family, there's no you. There's no you in family, I don't think. There may be an I, but there's no you. But see, maybe what you're looking at saying, you know, that would be good if, maybe that's, you notice that because there's something in you supposed to rise up and take care of it. Oh, I'm just waiting for Pastor Dave to walk by one service and say, you, God told me to have you come up here right now and preach the sermon for me. I know that's how God's going to call me. Well, I'm going to get off topic now. It's as important for where we're going for you to find your place as Pastor Dave finds his. It's as important. It's as important for you to hear him, your father, not from a man or a woman or a preacher, but from him yourself. Hearing prophecies or words is good, but it's supposed to supplement the real voice. See, let me keep reading here. We'll start in we'll continue from verse 8:17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What is the fruit? The good fruit is the salvation. It is the born-again nature, the nature of God being placed into you. It's the transfer of your life source, of your heart, from the nature of your old, dead, death, dark human race being transferred over to the new nature, the nature of Christ on the inside of you. Now, because you're born again, you have a tree that has roots, and it will produce good fruit if you give it enough time and if you take care of it. I'm waiting for my ministry, Brother Allen. I'm waiting for God to give it to me. I pray every day for him to give it to me. But it doesn't come from outside the building. It comes as fruit on a tree. It will show up, and you will pluck it and enjoy it and eat it, because the root for every need you have, the source for every need, every prayer, every desire that he's given to you for your calling, for your family salvation, for your finances, is not out there, and it's not in heaven. It is your new nature being tucked into and tied into Christ. And from him, your new nature pulls every nutrient it needs to produce the fruit that you're after in your life. Revival will come not from God sending it from heaven. It will not come from us knocking on doors. It will come when we mature enough in our new nature that the fruit will start showing up and we'll have what we need to feed the nations. I thought I got in conflicts with the faith message, you know. Call those things and name it and claim it bunch and all that. But I'm finding more conflict with simply, we need to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to spend time worshiping God. Well, is that all you do? Well, I used to be like you. But it wasn't doing anything for me. I spent a lot of years like what you're trying to talk me into doing. I already did that. And it's so boring. There's so much more out there. Where's the church? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Where's the men that walk like Jesus walked? Where's the church of the New Testament? I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because you're here. I don't want to just be a preacher, just to be a preacher. I don't want to make a living as a minister. I want to change the world. When I was 18 and just started serving God, I want to change the world. I remember when I sold my little place and moved down to Cleveland, Tennessee to go to Bible college. I was so excited. The guy I sold my place to, he's like, where are you going? I said, I want to change the world. You are? Yes, sir. What are you doing? Well, I'm going to go to Tennessee. I'm a minister. I'm going to be a preacher, man of God. Oh, one of those. Yeah, my nephew, he tried that. He went broke. So, well, thanks a lot. But I want to change the world. We're going to change the world. You are. You're going to touch the whole world. Why not you? Why does it have to be someone else? Why do they get all the testimonies? Why don't we have a testimony that I sought God, changed the world? Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, here he's talking to the Old Testament church. That unless you get grafted into the vine, you'll be cast away into the fire. Now, let me give you another scripture here. Psalms chapter 1. Told you a story about my son who, while I was visiting my father, his grandpa, we're standing there and a man came up to him and said, "Hey, Ken, how you doing?" Talking to my dad, Harrison's grandpa. Harrison came up and whispered to me, said, "Daddy, Daddy." I said, "What is it, Harrison?" "Does grandpa have a name?" I said, "Yes, his name is, friends call him Ken." "Okay." And then a couple hours later at the house, he came up to me and said, "Daddy." I could tell he'd been working on it in his little brain. "Daddy." I said, "Yes, yes, son. Do you have a name?" I said, "Yes, I do. It's Daddy." I said, "Son, before you were born, people called me Alan. But the day you were born, see, I became a daddy. And for the rest of my life, I get to be a daddy." Now, most of the church is stuck looking at God by his first name. Most of the church and what we do in ministry in America is calling God by his first name, God. My boy ever came up to me and said, "Alan, sit down. We're going to have a talk." I had a hard time going from dada to daddy. See, he's not just God to you when you were born again. He became your father. He wants to father you because your new nature was like a tree and you planted you. Meaning you're connected directly to through Jesus to heaven, to your father, and everything you need, you have. But it's not getting God, because now I'm born again. I can make God come, or I can... God, bring revival. God, do this. It's not because you're born again that gives you access to God. It's because you're born again that your new nature has connected you to Him. And it's through that connection that everything comes. And Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Let me just say this, that everything we do in the flesh will end up to nothing. But everything we do through the kingdom of God, through this new nature, is the only thing that's valuable. Well, more valuable. Verse 1, Psalm chapter 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his laws he meditates day and night." Verse 3, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congress of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You are like a tree planted." Look over in Jeremiah chapter 17. I'll get ready to wind up here. See, it's starting to make sense to me. I wonder, when I first really started to pray in the Holy Ghost, I started to shed the false responsibilities. I remember I'd stop doing things. I used to be so productive. I was a good farmer. I was producing. And then as I prayed, it seemed like I was producing less. And then the questions became, what are you doing? I'm praying. Are you preaching? Well, I did. Well, when are you preaching again? Maybe a few months from now. Are you winning souls? Well, I'm winning my soul. I know that. Well, you should be a good farmer. You should be planting seed. What are you doing? Just sitting around. I'm tending my tree. I didn't know that's what I was doing. I went through a laziness period. Like, man, I'm just being lazy. Come on, get up and do something. So I go make myself go do something and produce. And then it didn't do what it used to do. That purpose-driven part of me just didn't fulfill me like it used to. I became spirit-led, focused. That you don't have to be good at everything. He just wants you to be great at what you're supposed to do. I was just tending my little tree. Every piece of fruit you need, see, will come through your new nature if you tend to it properly. You understand how sad it is that most of the church doesn't tend to their new nature. So that little tree never grows. And they're farmers their whole life. That's okay, you know, when it comes to money. You know, it's okay when it comes to calling, but it's a sad day when it comes to your family being saved. You spent your time doing the wrong thing. If I serve God, He's going to take care of my family. Well, it's true if you serve God the right way. Because then you'll give Him what He needs to take care of your family. But it's not a bargaining chip that I'm going to give my time to serve you. It's like I'm going to serve God and He's going to pay my bills. Well, if He asks you to, He will. But if He never asks you to, He's not going to pay your bills. You have inside of you everything you need right now. Everything. To find your place in the body. You know how glorious it is when we find our place? You wake up every day, you get to do what you love. You go to sleep, you wake up the next morning, you do what you love. And you fulfilled your calling. Glorious. I'd rather spend my first 45 years of life tending my trees so my last 59 years. That's bad calculating, maybe. We'll be eating fruit every year. How many guys there take off way too soon and self-destruct? Because they're driven to perform, either for self-exaltation or whatever it is. Inside of you is a tree, and if you'll tend to it, it will pull out nutrients out of God. Listen, His glory doesn't come because a portal is opened in heaven. He sticks His finger down and pokes a hole in the roof. Comes because your new nature pulls the authority out. And wherever you go, you're the portal from heaven. Oh man, I'm preaching good tonight. We'll start in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but will inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed, say blessed. Say I'm blessed. Say I am blessed, blessed. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. As a partridge that broods, but does not hatch, so is he who gets rich, but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken me the Lord. They have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. The Lord is the fountain of living waters that your roots go into, and everything you need comes from him. Let's go back over to John. Chapter 15. Verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've given spoken to you. And he tells them, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. How many here, you abide in him right now? You planted into those rivers of living waters. Everything you need for the rest of your life, everything, is yours. It's available. Not from God. He doesn't give you access to knock on the door and I have a covenant. He gives you access because you are connected to him. He's your source. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. You can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you'll be my disciples. You now, because you're born again, you're connected through Jesus, through that new nature, to the Father. And from him, through Jesus, everything you need is available to you. You just have to tend your tree. Abraham had a calling to have a son. It says he produced one, Ishmael. For years I thought Ishmael was the devil's plan. You know, you tell every young little girl, say, watch out. Before God sends you an Isaac, he's going to send you an Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the devil's plan. Ishmael was concocted in the heart of Abraham in an attempt to, by his own ability and by his own flesh, to do what he was called to do. Isaac didn't come till his flesh was dead. Isaac didn't come by the ability of man. It came only from the ability of God. And I know that every effort to towards the kingdom of God, we appreciate. I understand that. I was in the hospital visiting a friend who was dying, and a little tiny church that didn't know much about anything made us sandwiches and brought them up for lunch and fed us in the ICU. And I tell you, I appreciated that. I was loved on, and I appreciated that. It did something to me that someone was there at that moment. So I appreciate whatever this generation of church does. And I think that God takes what you give Him and allows you to walk in that and will bless you for it. But we're not here. You're not here. You're not listening to this message, and you're not here by accident. You're here because He found enough in you to ask you to go further and to grow stronger. Because in this growth, not only do you grow to where you bruise, once you start producing fruit, you get excited. Woohoo! I prayed for them and they got healed. Money came in. I got an answer to prayer. And then all of a sudden, right when you're thinking, this is my year, the year of Jubilee, the 2011 is heaven, this is it, this is my year. He comes along and he like starts to prune you. What are you doing? I'm ready. And then you're stuck there. Just a few branches. Come on. I was doing great. Says, you're doing great, but you're going to give me more. See, because you allow Him to. Because you're stay on course. You allow Him to prune you. And prune you, and prune you, year after year until you're fully mature. He's happy if we give Him just a little bit. And everything we do accomplish isn't because of us anyway. What we're called to do does not make us more important than the little Baptist church down the road. This is our place. He found enough in you and me and the group around the world to ask us to submit to more pruning so that one day He can have enough fruit to feed the world. That's why we have to stay on course. It's not our job to go fix anyone else. It's not their job to come fix us. It's our job to do what we're supposed to do. And allow Him to keep pruning us and keep tending our one tree. I don't need to come tend your tree. Please stay out of my tree. Like I catch some of you hanging in my tree, swinging. This ain't right over here. This branch isn't supposed to be here. You know, I'm looking at this leaf, and that's not right. That's not proper. You know, it doesn't say that. I don't have a leaf like that. Jesus never had a leaf like this. You know, I looked up in the geek, and it didn't say this word. This is wrong. We need to prune this. Can I prune this for you? Get out of my tree. I have one guy that prunes me. My Father prunes me. And don't worry, even if that tree, that leaf is a little bit off, He'll get around to pruning it. Just leave it alone. Get out of my tree. Man, I'm preaching good tonight. You don't mind if I just keep patting myself on the back once in a while. I'm one of those needy preachers, you know. I still don't cross that line. How did I do? Your whole future, you can change the world. You can change the world. And when that fruit starts to come, you'll pick it. It'll be a fruit of blessings, of finances for yourself, for your family. And you'll look at it and say, wow, look at this. Look what He gave me. So he didn't give it to you because you're his child. It's fruit that came out of your new nature. And guess what the best part is? It'll be here next year. If you can learn to walk in his provision when you're 20, then he'll still be there when you're 90. That's why it's important to get there. Because once you get there, once you get a hold of a truth, listen. I'll listen to something Pastor Dave said 20 years ago, and it's stuck in me. Something Gary would teach, and that doctrine of truth would just stick in my ribs. See, once it's a nugget of truth that's in you, it doesn't leave. It's there forever. You know how important it is to get truth and revelation of truth put into your spirit? Because then it's there forever, and then he could build on it. And build on it. Hearing God's voice is nice, but more important than that is getting the truth in you, because that establishes you. All right. I'll be quiet. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that in this place, you don't see us as a bunch of little children. As much as you see the potential in each and every one of us, of how much fruit that we will produce for you around this world. I give you my life tonight. You're free, sir, to keep me in one place, to prune me as much as you want. I am not anxious to be seen or anxious to be used. I'm anxious to plant my roots deep into you, into the fountain of living water, that when there's drought, I will not suffer. When it's hot, I will not suffer, because my nutrients, my feeding, my blessings does not come from outside source or from the sky to me. It comes from my roots through into you. You are everything to me. You supply all my needs. I do not fear with circumstances. I do not need to be afraid, because I know my source is you. So tonight I just recommit my life to you. To stay on this path. Prune me all you need to. I'm yours. I'm going to keep tending to my tree. That one day, from all of us here, the whole world will be touched. And we'll look at each other from across the continents, that we'll look at each other from across the continents and be so proud that we walked this walk together, that we didn't stop, we didn't change course, we didn't settle for second best. What a day that'll be. Thank you, Father, that all across the world right now, you have trees planted in strategic places. When the right time comes, after the pruning is done, the world won't know what hit them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.